Great. Good morning. Today we begin a new chapter, the sixth chapter of Masechet Baba Basra. And the topic of today's daf is familiar to us back from Masechet Bava Kama, and that is the issue of Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov. The Torah says, Acharei Rabim Lahatos, when you are faced with doubt, you don't know who's right in a court, side that says that the person's guilty, the side that says the person's innocent. We follow the majority. The Torah says, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority of the court. And that's a law beyond just court. That's a law in general. We follow the majority. We follow Rove. That, we'll see, according to one opinion, is true in regard to matters of religion, of Isur Veheter, prohibited and permitted. But in regard to money, Ein Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov. There is an opinion that in regards to money, we do not follow the majority. And that's going to underlie this discussion of today's daf. So we'll start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamocher Peros L'Chaveiro. If a person sells seeds to his friend. Now, normally, when you buy seeds, presumably, it's because you want to plant them. Vizaran, you planted them, velot samchu, and they didn't grow, because apparently, they were ruined, they were rotted, or worm, whatever, there was something to them, they were unable to grow. So the buyer, he says, well, you know, I spent all this money for something which is useless. I wanted seeds to grow. Nothing's growing. This was a mekach tos. Give me back my money. I'll give you back the seeds. So the seller says, no, you didn't buy the seeds to plant them. You bought the seeds to eat them. These were edible seeds. You could have eaten them. Most people buy for planting. So what? I thought that maybe you were buying for eating. And you were buying for eating, that you were part of the minority. So we say, in Holchin B'mamon Achar Harov, we don't follow the majority, we say that the seller's right. Afilu Zera Pishtan, even if what was sold was flax seeds. Most people don't eat flax seeds. The one time I heard of somebody eating flax seed was Barry Bonds, when he was getting bigger for the home runs. He claimed it was just flax seed. I never heard of anybody eating flaxseed, but that's what he claimed. He was getting bigger from flaxseeds. So even though most people don't eat flaxseed, but if the seller says, listen, I thought you were going to eat it, he is believed. The seller is not responsible to replace them, to give the money back. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, listen, it really depends. If it's your own egina, if it was seeds...
Rabbi,
yeah.
Today is a little different because we're selling flaxseed. We package a lot of flaxseed for the healthy people. They're putting it in a salad.
Ah, right. But still, I would assume most of the flaxseed doesn't go for the salad. Most of the flaxseed is still for planting flax to create linen, to create garments. So even though that's the majority, the seller can still say, but I'm sure... Our case was in the minority. I don't need to replace the money. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if what he sold was our own egina, you know, seeds from the garden, she'inan echalin, which the seeds are simply not edible. So then these things were clearly only for planting. And the buyer planted them and they didn't grow because they couldn't grow. Then chayav b'achriusan. Then the seller needs to replace them because clearly it was mekach ta'ut. It was a sale that was all false assumptions. It never happened. It wasn't a sale because he bought things to plant. He didn't buy things that are useless. This was useless. They never intended for that.
But he couldn't return it anyhow, Rabbi, because he already planted them in the dirt. And how could he return it?
He says, because you didn't give me what... This deal's not what we...
Right.
I'd never given you money for this type of a result. I gave you money for seeds that I could plant. I didn't give you money for seeds to admire them.
If it's in the season and the purchase is a farmer and he's buying from a seller, the seller knows that he's buying the plant. How could he can't claim that he's still buying it to eat?
He could. He can claim he's buying it to eat because that's the minority. Even though it's not the majority, there is a minority of people who buy seeds to eat. He says, you're part of the minority. And Shimon Gamliel says, if it's something which it's really not even a minority, it can't be eaten, then you can't say he was buying it to eat. Then he's clearly only buying it for purchase. So again, the Mishnah says, if somebody sells seeds to his friend, and the buyer planted the seeds, and he's so disappointed because they're not growing, even if what he had bought was flax seed that the great majority buy for planting, the deal does stand. He doesn't have to replace the deal because the seller can claim you were part of the minority. You were buying seeds, flax seeds, to eat them. Shimon Gamliel added, but if it was garden seeds that cannot be eaten, then if they were planted and they're not growing, so clearly that was a mistaken deal. It wasn't a deal. He didn't buy seeds to look at them. He bought them to plant them. They can't grow. So it was a mekach tos. And then the seeds need to be, the money needs to be returned.
I don't know how to counter this. This could be that he didn't do the right job. The guy did plant it.
Mm.
I don't know.
What about, yeah,
apparently not. Apparently it's the seeds aren't growing. See, Itmar, we learned. This takes us back to Bava Kama. Hamocher shor lechaveiro. Let's say Reuven sells an ox to Shimon. Now, most people who buy oxen are buying oxen to use them, to have them pull the plow, to work in the field. You don't normally buy an ox to slaughter the ox. The butcher buys oxen to slaughter the oxen. But a regular man buys an ox to use it in his field. So Reuven sold an ox to his friend Shimon. It turns out that this is not an ox that Shimon can use in his field because this ox is a gorer. He's jumping around. Every time he sees a person, he starts running with his horns. He's a dangerous ox. So now he's got to slaughter it. He says, I didn't want to slaughter an ox. I wanted an ox to work in my field. You know what? Give me back my money. You take back the ox. So Rav Amareza Mekachtos, Rav says, okay, the ox has to be taken back and the money has to be returned. It was a false deal. With Shmuel Omer, but Shmuel says, no, the seller can say, Yachal Omer, the seller can tell him, L'shchita Mechartiv Lach. What's the big deal? You don't like the fact that the ox jumps around? So slaughter the ox. I was selling you an ox and you were going to slaughter it. Most people don't buy oxen to slaughter. Fine. I didn't think you were part of the most people. You're a special person. You were buying an ox to slaughter it, and I was selling to slaughter it.
He's claiming he can hide the fact that he was a gorer.
Yeah, I could hide the fact, so it's not relevant to the issue. The issue is that you wanted meat, so I sold you something for you to be able to have meat.
Rabbi Mikla, he was mu'ad, or just nakhan, he was mu'ad?
Sounds like it. Yeah.
But did the seller have an obligation of disclosure?
Isn't it supposed to be public knowledge that he's a gorer?
If he's muad, he don't need even the issue of whether shchita or not shchita.
Apparently, it was a goring ox.
But it wasn't forewarned.
He was not forewarned about it, but the seller can say, "I was under the impression that you were buying for the sake of slaughtering."
I wouldn't give him the money back, Rabbi.
Give it to Yoel, 6 months.
That's his problem, come on.
I thought you were buying for slaughtering.
He can't afford to do business with him. No refunds.
You have to send him for training.
So the Gemara asks, Velechzi, but why don't we take a look? If it's a man who buys oxen for slaughter, so then yeah, you can make the claim it was bought for slaughter, so what, that it's a gorer. But Ilaridja, if it's a man who buys his oxen to pull yokes, so Ilaridja, so then isn't it clear that he's buying the oxen to pull the yoke? It's a My answer is begavra de zavin lahachiu lahachiu. We're talking about a man who buys oxen sometimes to pull a yoke and sometimes for slaughter, and that's why the seller can claim, I'm sure that in this instance you were buying for slaughter. Again, this is a question we saw back in Bava Kamma. Why don't we look at how much the money was? Right? If it was an ox for labor, the money would have been more. If it was an ox for slaughter, the money would have been less. We're talking about a time when the price of meat has appreciated. The kam bitmei raja. And the price of an animal to be slaughtered is the same as the price of an animal to do work out into the fields. So there's, that's Kim's question. So the Gemara now asks the Yachi Lamai Nafkamina. So then who cares? What's he coming with complaints? I wanted an ox to work in the field, and this is an ox I need to slaughter. So what? It's the same price. So you didn't have a loss. So what's the big deal? The answer is Nafkamina Latircha. The difference is the hassle. He's a guy who wants to have an ox to work in his field. So this ox can't work in the field because it's a gorer. So now he's going to have to go sell it. Yeah, he'll get the same price. And then with that amount, we'll have to go buy a new ox, which can work in the field. Because I don't want to have this hassle of finding a buyer, then finding a new ox. You give me back my money and let me go find a new ox. So Gemara says, hey, Chidami, still, what's the case? Does Rav say that it's a mekach toz? If the seller doesn't have the money anymore, so why does Rav say it's a mekach tos and he should take back the ox, and find the money somehow, or he should sell the ox? Let the buyer keep the ox for the money that he gave. Because as we just said, the price of an ox that gores is the same as the price of an ox that's slaughtered in this situation. So if I owe you money, it doesn't matter how I pay you. I can pay you with cash. I can pay you with the equivalent of money. So the ox itself is the equivalent of the money. So the seller can tell the buyer, all right, I don't have cash, your cash anymore. So you don't like the ox. Okay, so it was no deal. The ox is your deal back, is your money back, because that's the value, because let him keep the ox. The Amiinchi, as people say, min mare rishvasach, pare yefra. If you have to get reimbursed from a guy who owes you money, take whatever you can take. You know, if all he has to pay you with is these clunky pieces of flour that are very uncomfortable, what they call subin. So get paid back with that. You take whatever you can. So here too, he should take whatever he can and take the ox itself. So I'll tell you the cases. The seller has money. So since the seller has money, the buyer doesn't have to accept the ox as the payment back. The seller has money. So the buyer says, I want the money back. So Rav says he's entitled to the money back because we believe him when he says this was a mistaken deal, mekach tos. I never agreed to this because I bought an ox for plowing and this ox can't plow. It's a gorer. And Shmuel says, no, in money we don't follow the majority. Maybe not. Maybe you didn't buy it for plowing. Maybe you bought it for slaughter. You don't have a proof that you bought it for plowing. And therefore, you need to prove it, your case, to take money away from the seller. And therefore, you are stuck with it.
Is this the halacha, Rabbi?
1 second. Rav Amar Reza Mekach Tos. Rav says it's a false deal. And the money goes back. Because Basa Rubas Lina. Rav says that even with the majority, we can take away money. We follow the majority. Ruba l'raja zavni, most people, when they buy an ox, are buying it for plowing. So therefore, this purchaser also bought the ox for plowing. And since it turns out that the ox is a gorer, it was a mekach tos, and the seller needs to return the money. Shmuel amalucha, Shmuel will tell you, ki es lima basaruba, when do we follow the majority? Be sura. That's true about prohibitions. We follow the majority. In in a question of is it kosher or not, if the majority is kosher, it's kosher. But the mamona, but in regards to taking money away from someone, lo, we don't follow a majority. We need raya, we need a real proof. Majority is not good enough. And yes, that is the way we paskin. We do not paskin like Rav. We paskin like Shmuel. That if a person buys an ox, he's a regular man. Most people buy oxen for the sake of plowing. And this is an ox that can't plow because it's an ox that's got a bad temper issue. Nevertheless, the seller does not need to return the money. The seller can say, we don't follow the majority. Prove to me that you're part of the majority. You can't do that. So therefore, maybe you're from the minority. Maybe this was a deal in the minority. And the deal stands because you can't prove that I need to give your money back. So now the Gemara, which we saw this Gemara already back in Bava Kamma, the Gemara is going to ask on this principle of Shmuel from other cases. Is it in fact the case that we don't follow the majority in regards to money?
That's the main principle.
That's the discussion that we're talking about. Do we not follow the majority?
Shtar is not majority.
Shtar is a raya. That's related. That's witnesses.
Okay.
That the witnesses signed the shtar. That's
the
proof. There's no proof.
Okay.
But there's a majority. In matters of kosher, we would follow the majority.
Even in this case, with this man, he only ever has bought oxen for plowing.
That's right.
Still,
no, then we said not, right? Because we said it was a man who sometimes buys, right?
Then it becomes...
Right, because we said, let's see the man. If he's a man who always buys for plowing, it was for plowing. So we said, no, it's a man who buys for this and for this. So it's not a man who always buys for plowing. That would be a proof already.
Okay. Rabbi, if he came with the money to buy the ox and with the yoke, would that be an assumption that he's doing it for plowing as opposed to slaughtering?
Not so sure. I don't know. It doesn't say that. I don't know.
Because we learned before, if you buy the yoke, you buy the ox together.
Basically, yeah.
There's a specific purpose.
Yeah, but obviously... It
looks like it, but I'm not sure that that would be enough of a proof.
Yeah.
So basically, Rabbi, what we're saying here is that in the case of money issues, every case is going to be unique, and the ruling should not be based on common practices under that case in general.
I think it's a little bit deeper. It's that in money, when you want to take money away from somebody else, majority is not enough of a proof. You need like real proof. Right? The buyer of this ox would now like to take money out of the hands of the seller. Say it was all a mekachtos, all a false deal. He's trying to take money away from the hands of the seller. Where's your proof that it was a mekachtos? Yes. Oh, because I bought it for work in the fields, and this ox is useless for work in the fields. Maybe not. Maybe you bought it for slaughter. Some people buy for slaughter. You can't prove that you didn't. So if you only have a majority, that's not a proof that's strong enough to take money from the seller.
Would that go, this the same statement for marriage? You know, say, I got married to her or to him.
Yeah.
To do this and that, and then now it's the opposite, and
if she hurts
him, is that the same thing, Rabbi?
Well, it is. That we have a big discussion. We saw that in Maseches Kiddushin, that marriage is called an acquisition, Ha'isha Niknes. And in acquisition, we have the concept of mekachtos, that it could be a false deal. So the deal never took effect. So we saw that it's a little bit difficult in marriage, because we learned in Ksubos that even if a man tells his wife, I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have X, Y, and Z about you, if he then lives with her, so that means he's accepting it. So it would have to be that it's the type of a situation where there was information that was hidden from them, information that objectively would be grounds to say they never would have agreed to marry based on that, and that the moment it came to light, they separated. They didn't stick with it. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein has some scenarios in his book Igros Moshe, where he did permit that. So it was a man who had a mental condition, spent years in a mental hospital, then he was shipped off to war, came back, he married, he never told the wife that he had a mental issue, and then he was going crazy. And they weren't really together for long, they were together for 3 months.
So how come the rabbinate...
He said that was a mekach
tzavos. The rabbinate make it very hard in Israel for divorce and everything. Yeah,
no, the rabbinate doesn't make it hard. No, it's the bad husbands who make it hard. They're husbands who are creeps. They don't want to give divorce.
No, I understand, but I mean, bad husband or bad wife, at the end of the day, you divorce, right? But the rabbanut, they make it very hard.
No, they don't make it hard. They try their best, the rabbanut. It's sometimes that the husbands don't listen and they can't do these things of mekachtos, because sometimes there wasn't something hidden. It wasn't an information that was hidden.
But what happens if the seller is standing at a store and it says seed store,
mm-hmm.
and the guy buys it and the seeds are no good.
Right.
So he can't, he has a claim to get his money back?
Not necessarily. He says if...
it's not questionable whether he bought it for seeds.
Why? Maybe he bought it for eating.
The guy's selling seed.
Yeah, but people eat flax seeds. We just heard from Chaim, all the health nuts like the flax seeds. It's a good thing. It's good for the salad.
But if it's totally false representation,
yeah, false representation certainly wouldn't work. That's mekachtos, right? If he said it, if he told the guy it's going to work for planting and it doesn't, then it wouldn't.
Yeah, like a garden store. You have to come with witnesses.
So now the Gemara, for the next today and a little bit of tomorrow, the Gemara will continue this discussion. Mesve, they challenged Rav from a Mishnah in Masechet Ksubos. We know that a Ksuba is the sort of the golden parachute that's given to a wife upon the dissolution and termination of a marriage. A marriage can terminate either through divorce or through death of the husband. So we know that there's a different amount of money given to different women. If the woman who got married was a virgin, a besula, her ksuba is 200. If the woman who got married had been married before, an almana, a widow, the ksuba is 100. So we learned, Hayisha shenisa armala, a woman was widowed. Odeskarsha, she was divorced. So now she's entitled to her ksuba. He marries besula nisesi. She says, I married as a virgin. My ksuba is 200. Vuomer loki al alman nisatich. So he says, no, I married you as a widow. You only are entitled to 100. Im yesh edim shiyachas behinuma. If there are witnesses that were at the wedding and they saw her wearing the veil, or rosha parua, or her hair was undone and it wasn't in a braid, it was reaching around her shoulders. So that's a sign of a virgin. Ksubas amasayim, and the ksubas 200. Taima. So when will we give her the 200? Ikaidim. If there are witnesses that identify her as having been a virgin at the wedding. Haleka Eidim, but if there are no witnesses, lo, then apparently she doesn't get the ksuba of 200. So according to Rav, you follow a majority. Vamai, why is this the case? Lema, why wouldn't we say Alecha Charov Anashim? Let's follow the majority of most women. We don't know what the situation is, whether the guy should be paying 200 or 100. So let's say, what are most women who get married? Rov Nashim and Sulos Nisos. Most women get married as virgins. So then let's assume that she's a virgin and she's entitled to 200. Why do we say that she needs to bring witnesses to prove that she's entitled to 200? Just the majority should be enough, according to Rav. Answers the Gemara, Maravina. So Ravina says, you're right. Rav would say normally you follow majority, but here there's reason not to. Here Rav would say like this, Rov Nashim Besulos Nisos. Most women marry as virgins. Umiyot almanos, a minority marry as widows. However, kalanises pesula yesh lakol. Going back to that discussion about the goring ox, right? Most women who marry as virgins, people talk about it, you know, it's exciting things, the first marriage. So there's a rumor about it. So since there is a lot of talk, vizuba, this woman, Hovein Lakol, there was no talk about her. There was no talk about this woman. There was no talk that she was a virgin. So since there was no talk, Isra Le Ruba, that itself is a reason to doubt that she's part of the majority. Because if she's part of the majority, that she was a virgin, why didn't we know of that? Why didn't we hear of that? So therefore, Rav says she needs to have an actual proof that she was a virgin. Normally, majority is enough. That's a majority that's not weakened. But a majority that's weakened, we need proof even according to Rav. And he wouldn't follow such a majority.
Rabbi, on a side note, divorces that get hung, is it primarily because it triggers a financial obligation on the husband? Is that why husbands don't want to give their wives divorce?
No, I think the reason why most husbands who are recalcitrant are not giving divorces is because of the bad feelings that are causing the termination of the marriage in the first place, and they want to exact revenge or try to get a different arrangement of custody. You know, custody becomes very contentious. You know, who's going to have the children? How long will they have time with the children? And those are usually issues that hold things up, unfortunately.
But it also will trigger financial obligation.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are going to be financial obligations. It's not... The ksuba itself is not so onerous. It's not so much money. It's a couple $1,000, $5,000.
So that's not pretty, okay.
It's not the ksuba so much. It's more the who's going to have the kids and how long will they have the kids. And, you know, she did all these things to the guy. He says, why should I give her a get? She should suffer too. Yeah, they want to mess each other up, unfortunately. There's a lot of bitterness. You know, it's very hard. Very, very hard. All right, talking about this topic, do we follow a majority to take money out of somebody's hands? Sashma, come in here, proof. We learned, Amocha Eved L'Chaveiro. A man who sells a slave to his friend. V'nim Tzaganav. It turns out that the slave is a thief. O Kibiustus, or a kidnapper. Higiu, the buyer is stuck with it. List of Mizuyin, if it turns out that the slave is an armed robber, O Muchtav L'Malchus, so there's already a death penalty on him from the Romans, then already that's a false deal. He can give the guy back and get the money back. So Gemara says, Reisha my taima. So why in the first case, if a guy buys a slave and he turns out that he's a thief or a kidnapper, is the buyer stuck with the slave? Lav mishum deruba hache isnehu. Isn't it because most slaves are thieves. And since most slaves are thieves, so that's it. So he's stuck with him. So that seems to go against Shmuel, because since Shmuel doesn't follow the majority, so then he could say, I didn't think I was going to get a slave who was a thief. So why should I be stuck with it? So he says, no. It's not that most slaves are thieves. Lo kulu haki isnuhu. All slaves are thieves. And since all slaves are thieves, that's why if a guy buys a slave, of course, he can't return the slave because the guy is a thief. All slaves are thieves. That's normal.